let me take my chance to welcome you today, and also thank you for being here, and especially thank you for your investment in the Chamber as Inner Circle members. We appreciate that so much. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to what Dr. Seaman has to say to us today. I think it was just over a year ago at our Economic Outlook Conference last year, and Dr. Girois talked about the BioCorridor at A&M and all the things that A&M's doing in the research arena. And it really opened my eyes to see what an asset the Texas A&M University and the system is to our business community. So I'm looking forward to what you have to say today, Dr. Seaman. I also want to take a chance to update you on a few of the different chamber events that are coming up. March is a really busy month, and there's a lot of great events that you can be a part of. The first one is on March 1st. We have our business after hours out at the new Bank and Trust down by HEB at Tower Point. And we're excited about our business after hours. There's two of them this month, so it's kind of supersized for March. It's great. But if you have not been to a business after hours before, what it is, it's basically an opportunity that you have to come out and network, to have fun, and to learn about the business it's hosting. So if you're open on March 1st, I would encourage you to come out to our business after hours at the Bank and Trust. The next event that we have is on March 6th, and that's our Epicurean Extravaganza. And you may notice in the community the name is changing. It's an Epicurean Extravaganza, A Taste of Aggieland. And we're changing the name to kind of represent a little bit more what it's about for those in the community that have not been to it before. But it's a great event where you can come out and sample food from so many of our local restaurants here in Bryan-College Station. And we're adding a couple new components to it this year that we're excited about. If you've ever watched Iron Chef on Food Network, there's going to be an Iron Chef competition at our Epicurean Extravaganza. And what we're doing, we have students in the culinary school at Rutter High School and at Bryan High School that are going to be competing against each other in an Iron Chef competition. And local chefs, Chef Tay, and also Peter Madden will be partnering with each of those schools in that competition. So I'm really looking forward to not just the food, but the entertainment of kind of seeing how this whole thing plays out. And the proceeds from that, or part of the proceeds, go to culinary scholarships through the Brazos Valley Restaurant Association. So I'd encourage you to come out to that event. If you like eating still, on March 23rd, we have our crawfish boil. And that's one of our annual events. It's a great opportunity to be casual, come out, eat crawfish, potatoes, and corn. And that also, it raises money for our Brazos County Youth Livestock Sale. So be sure and be a part of that. Lastly, we have our Chamber Day. And Chamber Day this year is going to be on March 29th. And if you haven't been a part of Chamber Day before, it's basically a day the Chamber takes to go out and celebrate business. We take teams and we go out and visit not every business, but a lot of the businesses in town and just thank them for being in business. And we look forward to people being a part of that. If you're interested in being a part of one of our teams, please let us know. You can take part in just the morning or just the afternoon or all day if you'd like to. But it's a great way to appreciate those of us that are in business here in Bryan-College Station. In addition to that, on March 29th, we have our business after hours at Allen Honda. And in addition to being a business after hours, it's kind of an after party for Chamber Day. So it's going to be a great way to welcome in existing Chamber members, prospective Chamber members, and just anybody that's interested in business in Bryan-College Station. So we welcome you to come out to that. The next thing, I'm going to welcome or introduce our lunch sponsor. But before I do, I want you to make sure and note, each of you at your spot, you should have picked up a copy of this piece. And basically, it talks about the Aggieland Business Park, who is our sponsor today. Take a second and look at that. It gives you a lot of information about the business park and what they have to offer. Now it's my pleasure to introduce your sponsor of today's event. He was born in Houston during World War II. His father was killed in the South Pacific when he was 11 months old. His mother remarried to an Air Force officer, so he was raised as a military dependent. He attended school in England for 4 years and graduated from high school in Fort Worth. He came to Aggieland in 1962 on the GI Bill and graduated from Texas A&M University in 1966. He has been in the real estate development business for 42 years and is currently the owner of Aggieland Business Park, which is located on FM 60, just 1 mile past Eastward Airport. Serving the nation's newest biocorridor in the heart of the Research Valley, the Business Park provides flexible, affordable, build-to-suit solutions for business owners. He has been active in the Bryan-College Station Chamber of Commerce for many years, and he's a graduate of our Senior Leadership Brazos Program and a past president of our discontinued Blazer Program. Due to his many accomplishments as one of our Blazers, he is a lifetime member of the Chamber of Commerce. He is particularly proud of his 5 children and his 8 grandchildren, Please join me in welcoming your sponsor of today's luncheon, Mr. Jim Jett of Aggieland Business Park.
Wow, thank you, Ken. Thank you, Royce. I wonder why Priscilla kept calling me back for all this additional information. I didn't know it was going to get public. And thank you for the plug of the brochure, and please feel free to flip it over and take notes. I think we're going to hear a very dynamic presentation here in a minute. It is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Seaman. I had the pleasure of hearing him speak a couple years ago at the TIPS building when we had a tour of that and dedicated it. And the thing that struck me at that moment when he was speaking to us, he'd only been here a short time, but he had fully bought into the Aggie culture and was very excited about being here. And that was projected very vividly in his initial talk. So I'm very thankful that he's here to give us an update. I had occasion to meet with him earlier this week in his office, and I found that we have something in common. He's the father, the proud father of four daughters. I'm the proud father of four daughters. However, there's something we don't have in common. He's the proud father of an Aggie, and I am not. Shame on me. Forgive me, this resume does not have one line in it that is not dynamic, pertinent, and speaks to his credentials and his accomplishments. So with your forgiveness, I'm going to read it, and I'll proceed right on through. Dr. Jeffrey Seaman serves as Vice President of Research at the Texas A&M University. He also is Chief Research Officer for the Texas A&M University System. That's not where it ends. He also is a professor in the Department of Biology and Biochemistry and Biophysics at Texas A&M. As Vice President for Research, Dr. Seaman is committed to working with the faculty, staff, and administration to expand and enhance the university's $689 million plus research enterprise, with the goal to propel the institution into the top 10 public research universities in America by the year 2020. Texas A&M currently stands among the nation's 20 largest research universities and is ranked third in total research expenditures for institutions without a medical school. Dr. Seaman leads a host of programs and initiatives furthering research, scholarship, and creative initiatives at Texas A&M, as well as overseeing the university's critical research support operations. He is actively engaged in leading the effort to redefine the vision and the mission statement of the Texas A&M Research Park to position it as a catalyst for research and commercialization activity at Texas A&M and a vehicle for economic development to the Brazos Valley and the state of Texas. In his role as Chief Research Officer for A&M System, Dr. Seaman works to facilitate research growth at all of A&M's System's 11 universities, 7 state agencies, and the Health Science Center. Dr. Seaman is an internationally recognized plant biologist with research interest in the ecology, physiology, biochemistry, molecular biology of photosynthesis, and global change. Prior to his arrival at A&M, Dr. Seaman served a very successful tenure as Dean of the College of the Environment and Life Sciences and Professor of Cell and Molecular Biology at the University of Rhode Island, where he also served as director of the Rhode Island Agricultural Experiment Station and Rhode Island Cooperative Extension. In addition, Dr. Seaman was appointed by the governor to co-chair the Rhode Island Science and Technology Advisory Council and to serve as a member of the board of directors of the Slater Technology Fund, which is Rhode Island's venture capital organization. Prior to that, he was professor and chair of the Department of Biochemistry in the School of Medicine and College of Agriculture, Biotechnology, and Natural Resources at the University of Nevada, Reno. In the course of his personal research career, Dr. Seaman has been awarded more than $24 million in research funding from state and federal agencies, including the National Science Foundation, U.S. Department of Energy, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. He's published more than 75 peer-reviewed publications in major journals, including Nature and Proceedings of the National Academy of Science, and is listed by Current Contents as one of the most highly cited researchers in the world in the area of plant and animal sciences. Dr. Seaman received his bachelor's degree with honors from Oberlin College with a major in biology and his doctoral degree from Stanford University in biological sciences. Be prepared for a wonderful presentation. Please help me welcome Dr. Seaman.
Well, thank you very much for that introduction, Jim. And I might say that the next daughter in line, her preference is that other school in Texas.
We need to work on that.
It's a real pleasure to be here. Howdy.
Howdy.
So I'm here to get you excited about research at Texas A&M University. So are you ready? Well, that was horribly tepid. Let me tell you how excited I am about research and how excited I want you to be about research. Let's say this was sometime this fall. We're in the SEC. Florida's coming to Kyle Field. That big video screen is up there before the game. Some guy with a bow tie, his face comes up, and he says, "Are you ready? Are you ready?"
Yeah.
To what I'm here to tell you about today, to tell you about what is going on at one of this country's premier but still up-and-coming research institutions and heading towards being one of the tops in the world. It's not an overstatement. I really want to broaden your understandings today and enlighten you about what's going on here. You know, this is an institution that is steeped in so many great traditions. The core, the 12th man, muster, elephant walk, Yale leaders, male or female, fish camp, the list goes on. Those are the traditions that you know very well. And as a community, we're about to introduce them on a large national stage, the SEC being one of them. But more importantly, we are continuing our journey as a university up into the upper echelons of all American universities. And the part of it that you may not be so familiar with, but the part of it that is really defining what Texas A&M University is today and what it will be in spades tomorrow, is our research enterprise. It's something that could redefine the future of how we live here in the Brazos Valley and in the world. It's research with the potential to end HIV, reshape our energy industry, deliver food and drinking water to people in third world countries. The list just goes on and on and on. But there's a lot of reasons why y'all might not be as familiar with that story as you are with our football story. First of all, we do a better job as an institution talking about football than we do about our research and scholarship. We don't speak a lot about ourselves, and we need to get to do that. Second of all, unless research really hits close to home, you probably don't have a sense about that. So unless you hear, "My dog's lymphoma was cured by a new cancer treatment developed at Texas A&M, or unless you hear, "My energy bill went down," sorry, Atmos Energy, "because of a technology developed in a lab on the College Station campus," unless you hear those things, it's not always easy to comprehend what's going on. The third reason that many of you may not appreciate the incredible magnitude and the incredible success of the research enterprise at Texas A&M is it's actually pretty young. In one sense, we've been around a long time. But really, our foundations are rooted in an extraordinary military school, a small, all-male institution focused on turning out uncommon people. It wasn't until the vision of General Rutter and the arrival of Jack Williams into the 70s that we began to build something more on that foundation, not take it away, but build something more. And through the 80s and 90s and the first decade of this century, a new American research institution has exploded, literally exploded, on the American scene. It came from nowhere. The peers that we play football against, the peers that you know around the country, have been as research institutions for at least 50 years longer. I would have liked to have been in College Station and Bryan during the 80s and 90s when this place exploded. Because today, as you heard, Texas A&M is now the 20th biggest research university in all of America. And if you take away from that list all of those universities that don't have medical schools, you are looking at the third biggest university in this country in terms of research, behind only MIT and Berkeley. Number three. That is really an extraordinary accomplishment in a very short period of time. And no matter how you slice the pie, we're number one in Texas. In fiscal year 2010, research dollars flowing from outside sources into the university amounted in a single fiscal year to $690 million. Our rise here as an institution has been swift and steep, and the exciting news, and what makes me think that I have the very best job in the world, is we're just getting warmed up, and we are honestly setting our sights on hitting $1 billion of external research funding a year. Now, you may ask, so what difference does this really make, except it makes for a pretty good set of speaking points in a speech by the Vice President for Research from Texas A&M University? Or what's in it for you, some really illustrious members of this community? Well, let's talk economic impact. Of course, Texas A&M is a tremendous steward of state resources and outside research funding. For every dollar invested in Texas A&M by the state, the institution returns $18 to the state's economy. And research is a major factor in that leverage. Texas A&M is without a doubt the number one driver in our local economy. Of course, we put out students that are just fantastic. They're incredibly well-trained, and when they stay here in Bryan College Station, you have some of the very best-trained, smartest, most capable employees you are ever going to have. And research is the other part of that driver, because as we grow as a research institution, so grows the area's attractiveness to new businesses. Did you know that the Brazos Valley has the highest per capita concentration of material scientists, engineers, professors, and veterinary technologists amongst all metropolitan areas in the U.S.? It's one smart place. And I swear our kids are smarter. In the last decade, as Texas A&M saw a 70% plus a 70% rise in annual research dollars to the current $690 million mark, the university's local economic impact rose during that period by $1.7 billion, more than 85%, so that in 2011, Texas A&M's economic impact in the Brazos Valley totaled $3.76 billion. The B, $3.76 billion, substantially fueled by this research enterprise that I'm talking about. Every day, this area that certainly I and my family are so privileged to live in becomes a more attractive home base for the knowledge-based economy of today and the future. You know these facts. The Brazos Valley has been rated in the top 15 best small U.S. metro areas in which to do business, according to Inc. magazine. In the top 15 in U.S.'s overall business development location, as rated by Business Development Outlook. And it's expected to be the eighth fastest growing U.S. metropolitan area from now to 2025. Our research enterprise at Texas A&M, that almost $700 million a year and headed for a billion, is a critical driver of the economic success of our community. I know that one of my bosses, Chancellor Sharp, spoke to you several months ago, and Dr. Jawar has spoken to you in the past, and they've talked specifically about the One Health Plus BioCorridor. As you know, that's a confluence of state-of-the-art laboratories, institutes, and amazing researchers that will make us one of the only places in the world to discover new therapies, perform preclinical evaluations, and manufacture them in one convenient location. When we talk about being good stewards of the state, the BioCorridor is one of our poster children, both at the university and in Bryan College Station. It offers a clear demonstration of how a major research institution fueled by public monies and a vibrant free enterprise system in an incredibly dynamic community with people like yourself wanting to continue to move the needle and solve real-world problems can make a real difference. And again, the BioCorridor is a prime accelerator to our reaching that $1 billion mark in research dollars flowing into Texas A&M. Now, our students are likely to be one of the greatest beneficiaries of the proximity of such a vibrant BioCorridor and that $1 billion. They, in parallel to the great discoveries that are going on here, reap the benefits of being around people and involved with groundbreaking research in their lifetime. They gain an opportunity to be educated by and work with the best and brightest people in this entire world, the faculty of Texas A&M. So there's a reason that the Wall Street Journal ranked Texas A&M number two in the country for preparing our graduates to enter the workforce, behind only Penn State. Our students received just an amazing top-tier instruction. You combine that with the power of the Aggie Network and the ability of our research enterprise to attract major private R&D partners who can hire our students after graduation, and there you have it, a recipe for an undergraduate education built for success. Well, let me just give you a glimpse of just a few, a very, very few, of some of the exciting research projects and programs that are going on at Texas A&M. And I'll start with the largest. It brings in about $60 million a year from the National Science Foundation, and that is our Integrated Ocean Drilling Program. That's our boat. and I wish I could get her close for all of you to see. But if you know what her fuel bill is, she basically stays at sea all the time. We calculated when she left the Panama Canal late last year, headed towards the Mediterranean from a drill site off Costa Rica, that it would take $300,000 to divert her to Galveston to show the Regents. And I love the Regents, but $300,000, the Regents, she went to the Med. But she is the Joides Resolution, named after Captain Cook's famous 18th century ship of exploration and discovery. And you might call it the most intrepid scientific and seagoing laboratory in the world. The Integrated Ocean Drilling Project is a collaboration headed up by Texas A&M with 25 other countries. It's to study questions about Earth's history, its processes, its structure, by collecting samples of sediments, rocks, and fluids from beneath the sea floor, often at great depths. So she drills beneath miles of water and thousands of feet into the Earth's crust below that. And one core at a time, she is deciphering the history of the Earth in doing that. Presently on campus, we have more than 60 miles of cylindrical samples of the Earth's core. We have a veritable library that's available to scientists all from around the world to study this. And if you're interested in learning more about this, take a trip to the Brazos Valley Museum of Natural History. There is a display on about the Joides Resolution and this program. It is free, open to the public through April 28th. But I want to pause for a moment and show you another short video that helps capture how a major research program like this one generates impacts beyond just its scientific discoveries. As you watch it, the graduate student who appears in the video turned down Yale University to come to Texas A&M because of the opportunity of being a part of this major international project. The undergraduate that you will see is from Katy, Texas, and she's now pursuing graduate work in exactly the same field. So here you see, we'll see in this brief video, that research reaches into our education.
Texas A&M houses the Integrated Ocean Drilling Program, IODP, here on campus. And it has a core repository, and this core repository houses sediments, marine sediment cores, provide us with a wonderful, wonderful archive of the history of the environment of the Earth. I think of it sort of like as the Alexandria Library in terms of sediment.
So it's a worldwide program that kind of work together to probe the seafloor and make discoveries about the ocean, about Earth's history, about the formation of the Earth.
In order to get a handle on how the Earth is going to behave in the future in terms of the way the climate is changing today, we have to understand how it behaved in the past.
Even as an undergraduate at A&M, I've been able to take several classes that have allowed me and gotten me involved with the IODP program.
That was actually one of the things that attracted me to come here, and I really saw the opportunity for collaboration on scientific questions. And IODP in particular, for me, because there are several marine geologists.
I think that was a huge draw. The Gulf Coast Repository is right here on campus at Texas A&M.
If you have enough people, there really is a critical mass to do something that's impactful.
So every time we do a research project at Texas A&M, we educate our students at the same time, and that's why being an undergraduate or a graduate student at a place like Texas A&M is such a special educational experience. So now take that International Ocean Drilling Project, those faculty interactions, faculty-student interactions that happen around it, multiply it by thousands of research projects and programs all over the Texas A&M campus. Well, you can't quantify that kind of intellectual engagement and opportunity. Well, wait a second, you might say, how do major projects like that get started? Where do they begin? How do we decide what to do? How do they grow to be such important and massive projects? Well, it all starts with that person who lives next door to you or down the street. That's not him. That's Alexander Fleming, who happened to notice a bit of green mold that could kill bacteria around it. Now, he wasn't an Aggie. He could have been. But what came from that observation, of course, is penicillin. Well, ideas of Texas A&M faculty are cultivated and furthered by an institution that values their potential to make a difference in the world, just like what Alexander Fleming did. But the support we give them often is sometimes not enough to make it to the next level. Believe it or not, the state doesn't have enough money for Texas A&M to do everything that we'll describe to you. Tuition isn't going to cover it all. Your generous donations aren't going to cover it all. So our faculty go out and seek funding from other sources: the U.S. Department of Energy, the National Science Foundation, the National Institutes of Health, the Cancer Prevention Research Institute of Texas. That's the sources of the $700 million of research funding that are brought into Texas A&M. And the idea that the faculty member has, it's cultivated, it grows, it might become a technology, a business might take interest in that, the researcher might commercialize it, we might turn that into intellectual property, that IP could help generate royalties and patents and resources for the university, new ideas could emerge, new companies could emerge, and on goes this never-ending cycle. Let me just tell you about a few of those. You may know Dr. Mark Holtzapfel, a professor in the Chemical Engineering Department of Texas A&M. He's one of our most distinguished scholars and inventors, and he's developed several pioneering sustainable technologies that have resulted in more than 80 U.S. patents. His Star Rotor engine has the potential to be three times more efficient than the conventional internal combustion engine. He's developing a method of converting biomass, your food scraps, what you leave on the table, into fuel. And he recently received a $2.3 million grant from the U.S. Department of Energy to support that. Well, we have technologies and new ideas emerging from campus absolutely every day, many with the potential to alter the state, if not generate entire new industries. Let's stick with energy for a moment. In my mind, one of Texas A&M's greatest strengths is in solving the world's energy problems. We've got researchers who have developed methods that can turn everything from algae and tobacco into fuel, and they have received millions of dollars from the Department of Energy. Texas A&M has strengths across the entire energy spectrum: electric power, geothermal, nuclear, oil and gas, solar, wind, bioenergy, public policy. There are so many important areas of research at Texas A&M that start here and generate global impacts. Let's turn to another subject, our Texas Transportation Institute. World famous for its patenting of highway safety devices that have saved more than 10,000 lives around the world. There are researchers at A&M that have recently discovered a molecular compound that dissolves the HIV virus responsible for AIDS on contact. And this compound could lead to a development of a powerful topical preventive for that virus. Cancer is the leading cause of death by disease among U.S. children 1 through 14 years old. Cancer is also the leading cause of death in dogs. And in many cases, the cancers that develop in humans and dogs are actually identical. And thus, some of the most promising insights into curing cancer are coming from work with pet dogs and right here at A&M in our Texas A&M Institute of Preclinical Studies. And if you're TV watchers, you may have seen Diane Sawyer's coverage on ABC earlier this month with the Institute's director, Dr. Terry Fossum. Dr. Fossum is an amazing, pioneering, groundbreaking scientist in the practice of using canines to understand and predict how treatments will work on humans, while at the same time working to be able to cure cancers in dogs. You combine this with all the other exciting research activity focused around the BioCorridor, and Texas A&M is helping to lead the charge to fight a disease, cancer, that kills an average of 100 Texans every day. Changing subjects again, Robin Murphy. Dr. Robin Murphy is a pioneer in the field of rescue robotics and a professor in our computer science department. She was deeply involved in science and rescue missions at Ground Zero after the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center. And she continues to work on developing technologies to help emergency responders during a disaster. And I remember Robin headed for the airport in 2011 and led a team of research and industry experts to Japan and that nuclear tragedy after that disastrous earthquake. Well, these are just a very, very few examples of the groundbreaking research that faculty are pursuing at Texas A&M. It's really extraordinarily difficult to translate $700 million a year into impacts. This is just a tiny little piece of that. But effectively, all that money, it's not only this huge economic driver, but it's about changing the face, improving the face of the society that we live in, improving the quality of life that we have here. That is what it is doing. Each of those is driven by that desire to have an impact. And that spirit is part of the fabric as well of our student community. Now, why are our Aggie graduates so amazingly special? Why is my daughter, who is now a junior, now I only jokingly call her a princess? Because all of this together, the Aggie spirit, the foundation built on a great military school, this kind of culture is creating someone that I know you know, they're your kids, they're kids in the neighborhood. We turn out just amazing students. And they make quite a difference. And they become the fabric of that. And they reach into even more things, including our entertainment. I asked my staff if they could make that move, and it was next time Kung Fu Panda will do something. But research projects in Texas A&M's VizLab have helped prepare our students to be some of the most sought-after specialists by companies like Pixar and DreamWorks. And because of our stellar faculty researchers, we've helped prepare our graduates to educate the next generation of scientists and mathematicians. Texas A&M University is first in Texas in producing teachers in the high-need areas of science, technology, engineering, math, in producing teachers for English as a second language, and for producing teachers for special education. First in Texas. Our business school is recognized among the top public business schools for its undergraduate programs, MBA programs, and faculty research programs. And keep in mind, when I say researchers at the forefront of their fields, I truly mean new frontiers. Our very own professor of astronomy, Nick Sunset, established the scientific foundation for the discovery of the university's universes. University has a lot of dark energy, but the universe certainly has a lot more. And this led to the 2011 Nobel Prize in Physics for several of his colleagues, and Nick was right there on that. Tom Ilfey, a professor of marine biology at our Texas A&M Galveston campus. He's made discoveries in some underwater caves in the Bahamas that could provide clues about how oceans formed on Earth millions of years ago and perhaps give hints of what types of marine life could exist on distant planets and moons. We have old world discoveries too, like the La Salle Shipwreck Project. That excavation, 15 miles off the shores of Texas, uncovered a 17th century French ship, the La Belle, that sank on her maiden voyage carrying colonists to the New World. And according to both the Smithsonian and the Texas Historical Commission, the La Belle is one of the most important shipwreck discoveries ever in North America. It was the last of four ships led by La Salle, the French explorer, who was leading an expedition in 1694 to establish a colony, a French colony, to serve as a military and economic foothold to challenge Spain's domination of the Gulf of Mexico. If he had made it, that ship hadn't sunk off the coast, Texas history could have been much more different had it made it to shore. And that conservation project is a part of our world-famous nautical archaeology program. Switch to the surface of the sea today. A&M Research has helped reduce annual fuel costs by Gulf Coast fishermen in Texas by an estimated $2 million. Back on land, one of our famous anthropologists, Daryl DeReuter, recently discovered a collection of fossils and skeletal remains that are considered to be the best candidates for the precursors of humans. We maintain numerous international collaborations. We have funded programs in Mexico to do shared research. We have a funded research agreement with the Weizmann Institute in Israel to work with them. And we have a new agreement with the Republic of China to create research opportunities with them. We're also working one of the most spectacular projects, I think. That we have worked on, because it is something related to being able to deliver clean drinking water. In Texas alone, there are more than 400,000 residents living in mostly impoverished communities along the Texas-Mexico border, the Colonias, and they lack access to running water and sanitation services. Well, your Texas A&M University Water Projects has helped deliver that much-needed resource in clean and inexpensive potable water to the Colonias by bringing together people from a diverse number of fields and creating a simple, elegant clay filter-based technology that you can see behind me that has been replicated in small villages the world over. That's something that is making drinking water available all around the world, and it came from Texas A&M. And we estimate that now we can help approximately 1.2 billion people around the world gain access to clean water. That's what your university is doing. Well, Texas A&M University was founded in 1871 by the Texas legislature. Instruction began in 1876 in a couple of buildings on 2,400 acres of land, which had been granted by you, the citizens of Brazos County. Thank you very much. That critical foundation, with an emphasis on agriculture and the mechanical arts, the A&M of Texas A&M, along with the military training that established the keepers of the spirit, and the guardians of tradition, and our Corps of Cadets, that commitment to selfless service to the state and the nation, these are the bedrocks on which our great university was built. That's what makes us unique. And they are the foundations, the essential foundations, for our great research university that burst upon the American stage beginning in the 70s and 80s. And today, in 2012, again, Texas A&M stands among the top 20 ranked public universities in the country. We are third, again, if you only consider schools without medical schools. But we think, and we want you to know, that bronze is not enough. We're just getting started, and we're already in third. You remember the amazing moment in 2011 when the A&M's women's track team secured their three-peat national championship? Remember what happened in that? Came down to one final race, the 4x400 relay. We were third going into that event. The women took off when we entered the fourth lap. Texas A&M was third behind Oregon and Auburn. Then do you remember who got the baton? Jessica Beard. Well, she roared by the Oregon opponent. And she roared by the Auburn opponent. She didn't need to finish first for A&M to win that championship, but bronze wasn't good enough for her. And that's really what the university's future looks like. So let me leave you with one primary takeaway today. There is groundbreaking research going on at Texas A&M, and it's now part of who we are as a university and as Aggies. This is our newest tradition. It's as much a part of our DNA as is the Corps and the 12th man. And we are headed for first place because just like a relay race, for research, bronze is not good enough. So one more time, after you've heard this story, and now you'll recognize a lot of these scenes in this video, are you ready? Because it's really now time for Texas A&M. Have one more look. That's Texas A&M in the 21st century. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Seaman. I'm sorry, with the video, I was hoping you'd show Jessica Beard running down that gal from Auburn. What a proud moment that was for all Aggies. Are you going to be able to stay around a little bit if people have questions? That we'll do that, and that way so those that have to go can go ahead and leave. Thank you again for being with us. Jim, Gina, thank you all for your support and for sponsoring this event. Dr. Leanne Ray, thank you very much for what you've done to make this event possible today as well. I appreciate the opportunity we've had to work with the Traditions Club. I appreciate my staff. Could I get them to stand? A number of them are here. Where are you guys? Back in the back. Thank you. They're the folks that do all the work, and none of them really like to stand up or be in public, so that's what they make me do. And it's really hard. I don't really enjoy it, but those of you that know me know better. But I do appreciate all they do, and thank you, staff, very much. Most of all, I appreciate each of you choosing to spend your time with us today, choosing to be a part of the chamber that's committed to making this a better place for all of us to live, work, and raise our families. I love working with all of you. I want you to let us know how we can help you. God bless you. Have a great day.